Music. Okay, look,
can I, I'm going to hit record. I've hit record. Do you want to start again with the beer, or should we leave that alone now? Should we start with something else? Just keep hammering just the beer?
Howie, you know how it works. Hammer it.
All right. But do you want to? I know I was. I thought you were going to tell me where the magic is and how it works.
No, no. You should know that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
We've moved on to hammering.
Yeah, I'm going to hammer. I'm gonna hammer this some more.
Here's to the guys with a cool podcast about weather and dicks and getting old fast. Interesting, all Canadian brew is waiting for you. Get it now, you're not real fans. Interesting, all Canadian brew. You know what to do. Interesting for the beach or the dock. Going dance, got a big cock. Interesting, yeah.
Humble and Fred's Interesting All Canadian Ale, available now with free delivery anywhere in Ontario. Order yours today at stonehooker.com. Humble and Fred's Interesting All-Canadian Ale Stonehooker Beer Tasting and Pizza Party on the Patio is Wednesday, August 7th at 7.
Yeah, it was cool seeing people drink our beer in person on the weekend. That was neat. And Dan, that was your first time drinking it, right?
It was my first time, yeah.
And what were your impressions? I actually saw, I was right there, close up, while you drank your first Humble and Fred Interesting Ale. How was it?
It was interesting. It wasn't, there was a flavor shift. I forget what I was eating at that particular point in time, but I was a little bit kind of, oh, that's interesting. It's a little surprise kind of flavor twist at the end there as it finished. It was very good. It's like, oh. Mm. It's a nice, it's got some body to it. It's, you know, it's not water that's colored yellow. It's
it's not, doesn't taste like it was pissy. What is it? Is it got a little bit of fruit flavors to it?
No.
No, what is it then?
It's just got body. It's an ale with more body than you would get from like an export ale or a... You know, just a run-of-the-mill ale that you would get from one of the big brewers, because the process obviously is different. Again, it's an ale, just a 4.4%, but it has some character. It has some body. It has some taste.
Well, I'm very happy that everyone seems to be enjoying it. Everyone, I've been sending pictures of our listeners drinking our beer to Ross and everyone at Stonehooker. Just every day, we're inundated with lovely, Humble and Fred people who are supporting us by buying this beer.
Yeah. Even our buddy Bruce Mallory, I took one up for him, and he was having dinner. He put it in the fridge, and he came down yesterday, and he said, hey, I had the beer. He said it was great. And I said, yeah, it's pretty good. He said, yeah, I was a little tentative, because the last time he had a Humble and Fred beer.
That's right.
Was about 20 years ago, and it was goat piss, right?
Yes, it was.
It was that horrible
beer. It was
beer.
Actually goat piss.
No, and I said, Bruce, we've come a long way. This guy who did this knows what he's doing. He said, yeah, I know. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I was educated a little bit on Saturday when you guys were, a bunch of the trailer people were sitting around drinking it. And what I didn't understand, because I think I said to you or one of the guys, I always imagine craft beer is a stronger beer. But you explained it to me, or somebody said that it's got full body at 4.4, where a lot of the lighter beers, you know, are sort of watery, or they take some. Did you explain it? How do they do it? They take it and they bring it down to 4%.
No. Yes and no. The big brewers, it was explained to me, they'll brew a lot of their stuff at 10%,
okay,
and then
yes,
water it down to 5%, right? Well, the process for these craft brewers is completely different. The big guys are in a big hurry, big batches. That's the most economical and fastest way to do it. Well, the craft brewers don't do that. It's all about quality and taste and enjoyment and experience. So that's the difference. So well, again, you could have a run-of-the-mill ale from, you know, Molson or Labatt, and then have one of these, and they both could be like 4.5% alcohol. But the Humble and Fred beer is going to have a lot more.
Well, that was the key. What you just said is that that's why often those beers taste like they've been watered down. But I'll tell you, there's no bigger, there's no harsher, there's no more discerning critic than Dan Duran when it comes to flavors and profiles. And he seemed to quite delighted by the whole thing.
I will say this about that experience when all the guys were kind of gathered around Fred's beer fridge in the access road behind the lake trailers here.
Yeah.
And normally this would never happen. I don't know, a little you know, a little convention that lasted so friggin' long on a gravel road, just sort of drinking a beer and talking about it and hanging out in, you know, in a... Finally, I said, guys, let's move down to the, you know, where the scenic water is.
Dan had enough of that vibe. There was like four or five of us standing around having a perfectly nice time talking this and that, beer and football. And I had a great chat with one of your neighbors there who's a football coach. And I was telling him about this.
Daryl, right?
Daryl's a great guy. And then all of a sudden, Dan appears and says, fellas, come on now. We're in the alley. We're in the alley. Come along to by the lakeshore. We're like, all right.
See, that's going through his head. That's going through his head. No one else's, right?
Oh, like, I know.
In fact, I may have thought, this is interesting. We've never really done this before. I'm going to enjoy the moment. But Dan gets all agitated, anxious. Why are we here?
Mm-hmm. We're in some... But I, same with me. I was like, this is kind of cool. I know all these people. It was your friend Brian, who I've known for years, and his son-in-laws, and... You and some other dude came along, Shepherd or whatever, Shep. He comes along. He's a character. So we're all sitting around talking about beer and this and that. Brian kept bringing up a lady friend who apparently he still has quite an imprint on his brain.
He doesn't let go of that stuff, believe me.
No, that was very funny. So we're all standing around there. All of a sudden, Dan pokes his head and says, come on, fellas, get out of the alley now. Well, okay, sure. And then the whole thing broke up.
Yeah, he wrecked it.
Well, I'll tell you.
We all sat around my new bistro table in the fire pit. Yeah, that whole area. And we'd look out at the lake. And
listen, I know everyone is anxious to hear about the... trailer visit and the nonsense that ensued. So why don't we start this program, Dan?
This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto. From our lakeside facility in the Kawarthas, featuring a sunset viewing platform, and from a lakeside trailer in the Kawarthas right next to it. With the Danis Duranis bust. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Mike Boyd Zoom Theater, and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. And now, here are two men who are upset with themselves as they enjoyed the weekend too much, and that means having to complain about something else. It's Humble and Fred.
So many people were... There's two themes have developed over the last few days since we did a show on Thursday. One, of course, our beer. I was going to ask you this. Do you think it's exceeded our expectations, or has it met our expectations of what kind of reaction our audience was going to get? Was it going to give?
That's a good question. Put it this way, I'm not surprised. You go into it thinking, geez, I hope this works. I hope there is a good reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is, I'm not surprised because, you know, our audience is very reactive. And again, this is a product that they can easily purchase and obtain. And I know it's a good product. So in the end, I'm not surprised. I'm happy. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And the fact that the first batch is almost sold out. Here's the marker. The man who brews the beer is very happy. And he's surprised. He didn't think it would sell as quickly as it has. So that's a good thing, obviously.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. And I'm all of it. I'm not surprised, but I'm happy. I think it, you know, when we started talking about this in the winter, you know, you and I have a history of not only interacting with this kind of audience of ours, but also this beer that we've done before years ago. And it was the Humble and Fred beer do-over. But the reaction has been great, and especially because people are purchasing it. So that's two things have come up. The beer, and I got several emails, Dan, from people wondering about the weekend. You know, how did I make out of the trailer? Was there... here's a question from somebody. How is the nut rubbing going up north? That came up a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My grandkids were here, so we really didn't get the chance to do that. Would have been bizarre, odd, when they walked over to the fire and to see such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe next time, Howard.
Here's somebody who also says, why do I have a visual of Fred after you arrive at the Tin Palace, walking through the park like a town crier, announcing your arrival? People, people, Howard is here. Howard is here. Come gather for an audience.
I almost did.
Yeah, as a warning.
Yeah. That's right. As a warning to the folks, to the town folks. But you know,
I let everyone know, and then, you know, we had a little bittersweet ceremony here. The park grandpa passed away a couple of months ago and today, and we had a little service for him on the weekend, a little memorial tribute thing, and we gathered down at the Kimbers, and everyone was saying, Howard's here. Why isn't... Tell him to come down. Tell him to come down. And I said, I told him he could come down. Everybody wanted you down there. Mm. They wanted to see you. Even though, you know, you didn't really have a relationship with the fellow who passed away.
No.
You had a relationship with all those that were there. And they wanted you to come down. But, you know, you being shy and, you know, not very social, you decided not to.
It's funny. I'm just looking for a note from our friend Darren. He says, have you gotten into any tussles at the park with the park staff yet? And I said, no.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, no, I didn't go because I thought that it was, it would have, you know, been, you know, it's like not my celebration of life. So I thought I'd stay away. I had a great time, by the way, when you guys were down there. I don't know what hit me there on Saturday, but I slept in that Dan Duran, what do you call that? Gazebo?
Yeah.
You guys were gone for a couple hours. I slept most of that time. Like, it was just great. Like, that kind of sleeping when you're outside and the breeze and it was warm and, yeah, it was quite something.
Nice. Well, glad you enjoyed it.
I did. And overall, though, I mean, I think I had a great time. I met lots of people. I talked to people. Dan was the amazing host, the food, all of it. Mm-hmm. The trailer that Dan lives in now, you can't even call it a trailer. It's like it's like you've walked into a condo in the city.
That's what I call these little condos on the water.
Yeah.
With my Adder room, I have basically the square footage of a... like a one-bedroom condo in the city or something. You know what I mean?
May I call you dude? Way more.
Yeah, call me a dude.
Dude, way more. You got way more square footage than a one-bedroom condo. Hmm. But what really surprised me about Dan's place, because, you know, as we both know, Dan's not only particular, but he's got a good eye for... He's got an aesthetic, we'll call it. You know, he has an eye for the detail of a place. And I kept asking him in his place, Dan, right? Like, he's got a farm door for a sliding farm door for the entrance to his primary bedroom. And I thought, well, that must have been an aftermarket Dan Duran thing. Everything in there, the gas stove, the little pin lights, the way the whole thing works, the television, it all came with the trailer. I'm like, who are these trailer people?
The only thing I've really done... is hung up a picture of coffee cups in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, the rest of it is unbelievable.
And my weather station. Those are the two things that I've done.
And he got a heat pump as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So now I can condition both ways. I can go up in temperature or down in temperature.
Well, that's how they work.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, it's quite a. Yeah, it's hard to describe to people when you say, "Oh, they, you know, Fred and Dan and the people they have trailers." But it's like if you're watching us on Facebook, the view behind Dan's left shoulder is what I looked at all Saturday afternoon, and it's just stunning. And you know when you and you know. You know, the old trailer was getting tired, but this new thing is, you know, it's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. Yes,
it
is.
Kind of a step in a different direction, in a way.
And
up.
And so normally, you know, I leave a place after, you know, a few people are soured and I've ruffled a few feathers. You know, I always hear a day later, oh, you know, when you said that thing, somebody took offense. And I'm like, oh, yeah, par for the course. But apparently, I think I got out of there pretty much unscathed.
Well, that's why I thought maybe you didn't want to come down in case you said something inappropriate. You know, you started telling dead guy jokes or something.
That's right. It's best I stay away from a large crowd in case I go, Papa Dog would love this. You know, made some stupid remark.
Oh, they all would have laughed. Papa Doug lived to be 90 and had a great life, and his struggle period was short. It's nothing but good. No. As I said, sad but sweet. Sad that he's gone, but... It was nice to get together and celebrate.
Yeah. But back to this idea that normally, you know, there's somebody that I leave a place and somebody's got like a, you know, weird vibe. But I think I pretty much got out of there because it was your family who I've, you know, known my whole life and I love them. And
My neighbor Angela actually said on, you know, unprompted on as you were leaving, I said, he's a really nice guy.
Mm.
That's interesting you'd say that.
Interesting you'd say that.
Yes, yeah.
Well, you know what?
I know.
I said yes. You don't know.
Yes, of course he's a nice guy.
I am a nice guy.
Yeah.
I just have sometimes I get a little out of I get awkward.
Get out of character.
I get all awkward and
Yeah, something that I've worked on over the past couple of years for various reasons is, you know, to know your audience, you know, and sometimes I forgot that over the years.
Mm.
Just take note of who you're talking to before you open your mouth, because certain things you might say to one group will be well received, but maybe not to another. So just think before you talk. I've struggled with it.
Oh,
and
it's a struggle
for all of
us.
I think you've done a good job with that as well.
Thank you.
You know?
Yeah.
As far as saying something inappropriate, I just want to get this out of the way. On the show a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about older people, showing them how to get the podcast, how they're intimidated by it, but it's very easy. Once you show them, they're surprised. And I referred to a guy here, Jake, and I called him Jake the shit sucker.
Mm.
Well, wouldn't you know it, he heard it because I told him how to listen to the podcast, and he just happened to listen one morning, and I referred to him as Jake the shit sucker. And of course, you know, I think, oh, funny, you know, not considering how the person might receive that kind of tag, because not everyone has the same sense of humor that we do.
Right.
So
what did he say to you?
We were just at the get together there on Saturday, and he came over and he said, I'll have you know, I'm the maintenance man. I am not the shit sucker. And I said, oh, Jake, you heard that. And he said, well, of course, you told me how to listen to the podcast. And I put it on. The first thing I hear is that I'm a shit sucker. And I actually felt bad because, again, you know, in the quest for humor, you reduce a man just like that in a second. You don't know how they're going to receive it. He was pretty good. Yeah. And I said, aren't you more a sanitation engineer? He said, yeah, okay, you can use that. Go ahead.
So whenever we refer to Jake the shit sucker, we will say formally known as
yes.
the shit sucker. Well,
anyway, he was a good sport, but I did actually, I felt this bad.
Well, you see, it's not
but
just
he does,
me.
He does more than just the sucking of the shit.
Exactly. You can't just reduce it. You know, it's funny. Is it funny? It's I had
It's funny. It's hilarious. It's amusing.
I had this conversation with my youngest yesterday, who, you know, is this week alone has been on stage doing stand up or sketch probably four or five times. So we're talking about humor, and we're sitting there having dinner, and there was a bit of a gap. I said, "Hey, I've got a funny story for you," and I go to tell her the story about me saying, you know, namaste, selfish, and the woman telling me to go, fuck myself like three times. Yeah. And the reaction wasn't what I expected. Now, Spenny, because she's comedic, understood that it was, you know, a funny story of sorts. But right away, she seems to take the woman's side, which I was like, what? How is that? And, you know, she said, well, you know, Daddy, if somebody said that to me, and then, you know, she went on to tell me, just to tell me how offside I was, and I was like, "Well, that's not really the reaction I was expecting." But my daughters have seen me, you know, maybe at, you know, through their lifetime, so they have a little PTSD of when I have been, you know, on the wrong side of a.
And let's be honest. Part of that story is, we're conditioned not to use our phones while we're driving. Well, and that woman was actually doing something responsible.
Oh, stop it. Every time you say that, why don't you just take a piss on the bit? Why don't you just whip out your weenie and pour piss all over this hot coals of the bit? Oh, that's right,
Howard. No, I'm just saying that again.
Yeah, I'm
just bringing that up again because that might be where Spencer's coming
from. No, I'll tell you. First of all, Grandma, that's not where Spencer's coming from. You know what Spencer told me yesterday?
What'd she tell you?
He was telling me that, like, you know, she's been in New York for, like, probably, I don't know, 4 months of the last year. She just got back from New York. Plus, she lives downtown. She said that when people bump into her, she says, she'll go, like, fuck, kill yourself. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. They'll bump him. She goes, hey, kill yourself. I said, really? She goes, it's more like I get shocked. Like, I get nervous when somebody bumps into me. I'm like, well, that's a bit aggressive. That's just the way she did it. She made me laugh. Someone will bump into me. I'll go, fucking kill yourself. I'm like, whoa. And you're mad at me because I said, namaste, selfish. Anyway,
no, but so, I get it, especially down in New York. Don't they have problems with people randomly being punched in the face?
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem down there.
It is a problem.
Just you walk down the street and somebody punches you in the face. who was that? There was an actor that got...
Yes. Someone got their face punched. But anyway, I would be remiss if I didn't again tell Dan I had such a great time and he was such a wonderful host. Every meal was better than the last meal and there was everything there for me. Decaf coffee. Non-alcoholic beer, just everything. And then the second thing that I had that was so joy-filled. So when everybody went to the celebration of life, which I avoided because I didn't want to, you know, say something inappropriate.
Crash a funeral. You don't like crashing funerals. Yeah.
And Doll came over, Fred's wife, who is also a doll, strangely enough. And said, you know, Howie, when we're gone, you know, the grandkids are going to be in our trailer, which is just mere feet away from where I was staying. And, you know, they just know you're here in case of an emergency. And so I said, well, no, I'll go over. You know, she said, you don't have to. I said, no, at some point I'll just wander over. And I will tell you, of all the fun I had this weekend, and I did, I had a lot of laughs, and it was really fun, and I relaxed. But the hour I spent with those kids was the highlight for me by far. Let me tell you, folks. First of all, they're just angels. They're just great kids. It's hard to even describe. There's no words. Everyone thinks their grandkids and kids are special, but they really are special kids. But not only are they just well-behaved and fun to be around, so I go into Fred's trailer. I sit down, and I sort of like say, okay, I'm here now. You guys know who I am. I said, ask me anything you want. I said, this is how it started. I said, ask me anything you want about your grandfather. I don't know what I expected, but I did not expect this question. Yes, first question. How much does he swear? I'm like, what? That's how the day started with these two. Oh, yeah. And then we had a discussion about swearing. And then I quizzed them on how much they swear. And that granddaughter of yours is fucking hilarious, man.
No, I know.
She's real. John's is so good. He's so funny, but she is just a kook. But funny, you know, like a little bit like you, like bit of non sequitur, At one point, we were playing with the dogs because we had Danny's dog, Fred's son's dog, was there, and their dog was there. And so we were sitting in your attic room just talking and playing with the dogs. At one point, she just looks at me because I pretended I didn't know her name. I was calling her Marv. I said, "Marv, what are you doing?" She goes, "I like geese." like what? And John and I laughed, and she and I said, "Well, don't tell your grandpa that."
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But just the way they and then we sat and watched a show together, and it was just great. It really was the highlight for me.
No, I know. It's funny. I mean, there's space here, but it's when we're all here, it's a little tight. And but it's fun having them here. You know, honestly, there might be other grandparents with grandkids that, you know, don't behave themselves as well as they should that might find it a bit tedious, but I just love every minute they're here because they are so well behaved and
they
appreciate it a lot.
But they're not like they're well behaved in a way that's like they're not. I don't know how to put it. Like they're characters. They're not acting up. They just kind of they like the last Saturday night. John, who's 11, sat next to me at the fire. And just the little conversations we were having. He's just a dude. He's just a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
He's a good guy, and May is just funny and sweet. She's just a bit kooky.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's for sure. You know, John's a good guy. It's like as you say, you know, he's a good guy. Like, you know, when I go to his baseball games, he's still so encouraging to all his other teammates, like, you know, patting them when they come off and somebody does good. He runs over to them and, you know, slaps their back. And
yeah,
he's really good that way. Same with hockey. If a kid gets hurt, he skates right up and kneels down beside the kid. It's he's a gem.
Yeah, he's a special boy. And so it was great. And then so I started watching this show with them because there's at some point, you know, we talked for a long time, like probably a half an hour. I'm just hanging out, talking, shoot the shit. They were telling me funny stories about you. And May told a great story. And I think I'll get it wrong, but the punchline was, I was talking about if she'd ever said, you know, I went through the words. I said, have you said the S word? Have you said the B word? Have you said the F word? They said, no, not the F word. But later I found out they know the F word. But May told me this story about her dad, something happened. And I don't know I can't remember the full story, but the punchline was she said something like "eat dinosaur shit," and I laughed. So anyway, after after we hung out, played with the dogs, I said, "What would you guys be doing if I wasn't here?" They said, "Well, we'd be watching a show." I said, "Let's go." And I know what I expected, but you people out there that have heard of this show, it's called Rick and Morty, and I'm telling you, in the first 30 seconds. One of the cartoon characters said fuck about seven times. And I went, John, pause this for a second. I said, everybody look at me. Look at me and tell me that your grandfather and grandmother are okay with you watching this. They went, yep. I had no reason to believe they were lying. I went, let's go. Let's roll with Rick and Morty. And I'm telling you, it was hilarious. I felt a little bit weird watching it with them because it's so much. There's so much swearing in it.
Well, on the Friday night, my son Danny was here too. They were watching it, and we brought the kids up. Melanie didn't come to the next day, and I thought it was inappropriate. I said, Dan, should this be on? And he said, well, they say they watch it all the time at home. And I said, is that true? And they said, yeah, our mom lets us watch it.
I thought, it's okay. Really funny.
But again, that's realistic. John's going to be 12. He doesn't hear that stuff at school. Yeah. Like, put yourself back when you were 12. You know, what are you shielding them from? You know.
And it's a really funny, clever show. It's people who know it, and I Danny and I were talking about it. Danny says it's his favorite show. I can see why. It's really funny.
Yeah.
The whole situation is so it's so absurd, but the characters do swear.
And he said, you know, I really haven't watched it, but he said a lot of the concepts are clever as well.
No, yeah. It's definitely not just about, you know, it's kind of reminded me a little bit of Beavis and Butthead-esque, you know. It's got a lot of situations that are sort of even beyond like the kids watching it, but there's lots of absurd little things. Anyway, that was my takeaway from the weekend. That it was great meeting all the seeing all your friends again, and sat and talked to your son for quite a while. And
it was great having you here. It really was. And I was thrilled, again, because I was full up with my entire family, that you had a nice, decent place. You had your own bedroom over there with like a double bed. Like, his second bedroom is gorgeous over there.
Yeah, you know? The Dan Duran home, trailer home, is... So don't you feel better having that now? Now that your dingy hobo trailer has been hauled away?
Well, I never disliked the hobo trailer one bit. But on the other hand, it is a much different experience when you've got ceilings that are 10 feet high. And, you know, you can wander around in a room that doesn't feel... Because for a taller guy, you know, that the hobo trailer was about 6'6". So it was pretty easy to touch the roof. It wasn't, you know, it's not the same thing. Yeah, it's a very open, spacious kind of, you know.
The ceilings are everything.
Cottage.
Like, you know, on a rainy day or in the fall when it's cold and you come in here at night, it's just like sitting around at home.
So now having
this little tube.
Yeah, so having had this now, this experience these last few months, when you look back on it, you must think, wow. You know, because, of course, you get used to it. You know, you've had that other trailer for years. And, you know, you and I were talking about that. I did forget that I was tall. Everyone was tall enough to turn the lights on the ceiling because the ceiling was right above our heads. But that new place, it's got to make you feel great.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't go back now that I'm here. This is way too wonderful. You know, and it gives a whole new lease on the whole experience here. Because, you know, Fred and I have been here for, what, 33 years or something like that?
Yeah. Crazy. So,
it kind of, in some ways, you take stuff for granted. The beautiful view, you look at it and go, wow, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then realize not everybody has this. And, you know, especially when you came up and you were mentioning something about...
Didn't I say that? I've been coming up there for close to 30 years and I still never get tired. I mean, I'm there for 1.5 days a year, but I still never get tired of that view. I just sat and watched it for most of the time I was there.
And you touched on that, you know, we refer to it as, you know, Trailer Park, Tin Palace. Delise and I have been looking at some waterfront properties over the past couple of years. Yes, we have, with an eye maybe of moving up here, although that plan, I think, has been squashed. So many of the places you look at, the water isn't good enough. You know, it's weedy, it's too shallow, it's just not nice. So you would buy this home on the water, but not be able to enjoy it to the degree we do here. Like my grandkids, you know what, 50 feet from here, spent the whole weekend running along this dock and then jumping into the water.
The
swimming here is outstanding.
Yeah, the waterfront. I even said that to Dan yesterday morning after breakfast. I said, you know, it's amazing because I've been up to the Muskokas lots of times and seen the big lake properties, but rarely do you get a place where you have a lake view, but you also have the other shore view. It's so close.
Yes.
I was using Dan's binoculars a little bit there on Saturday. People were going by. It was kind of, I wanted to see where the canoe was. And then I think some dude was going kayaking with his wife or whatever. And he saw me binocularizing, whatever. I was doing the binocular thing. And I thought, does he think I'm spying on him and his chick? I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it seems creepy. Why do you have those? Is that why for you to look at birds and things like...
Yeah, to look at women in kayaks.
I was going to say, that's right.
That's why
I know why you have it.
Yeah, but I love, my favorite bird is the blue heron.
Is it?
Followed by, there's a pileated woodpecker that's my second, my runner-up. But the blue heron is looks prehistoric, it sounds prehistoric, and there's a couple of them that are flying around here all the time.
And you pointed out one to me, and we binocularized it.
Yeah.
Howard, what kind of woodpecker did you say, Dan?
The pileated woodpecker.
Howard, I sent you that thing that guy was going to buy the trailer off. I think that's what he referred to.
Oh, the trailer guy?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on a second. I have that.
Typical, like, Peterborough.
So this was a voice message that Fred got. Fred's trying to buy a trailer to haul his boat around. And this buddy, do we mention his name or does it matter?
Yeah, his name's Rick from Peel Marine.
All right. And here's the message he left for Freddie.
Fred, it's Rick. I've got a pileated woodpecker about 30 feet from me hammering on the bottom of a tree here. Oh, there he goes. They are huge. I've never had one that close to me. Anyway, today's Monday. I'm not likely to be around
today.
Then he
talks business.
I will be around.
That's
later
great.
Tomorrow.
He opens it up with an Autobahn moment.
When I know better.
I know.
That's awesome.
Just down yeah. the street.
But Dan's Blue Heron was way down, well, far enough down that I needed the binoculars to see it. And you're right. It's like from a different time, kind of like we. I know why you like it, because it's prehistoric and it reminds you of your childhood.
Yeah, when you used to fly around on, you know,
he was. He also was
when he used to fly around on pterodactyls.
Exactly,
right,
like the Flintstones.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, birds. Howard. You said you could see the other shore.
Yeah.
See, when Denise and I have looked at property, that's another thing we don't like. So you walk down to the water, and then the other shore is way over there, and it's just, it's sort of boring compared to this.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, and we're also lucky here, because we're like sort of a narrow channel, but we're on the Trent system, so there's always a current. And this year it's been probably stronger than most because of the rain, I guess, because, you know, it goes through the Trent system, down through the dams into Lake Ontario. It keeps this area pretty clean, too, like mm-hmm. of weeds, and with the water moving all the time. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
And by the way, for people's perspective that are listening, it's not the other shore. There's an island
right
across from us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, there's no buildings on the island. It's too narrow mm-hmm. to put up a real structure. So it's
No, but I was kind of getting at what Fred said. Like, you know, again, I've gone to the for you know 30 years I've been here, or 35 mm-hmm. years. But for a long time, I've been going up north. I go to the Kawarthas. I've gone to the Muskokas, and oftentimes you rent a place or you're on a lake, and the other side is a mile and a half away, or a couple miles away. And it's fine, but what you guys have is very, very unique. So that is my report. That is our report from the weekend. Let's sum it up. Grandkids are great. Dan's place is great. Food was great. I didn't offend anybody, which is always good. And that's great. Everything was great.
And it was a nice experience for us to be able to hand out our beer. There were a lot of people gave them one beer so they could sample it, and it was fun that they could sample it in front of us, look at the can and go, oh, look at those two guys.
Yeah, that's right.
They are right there.
I think I said to somebody, I said, yeah, we're the only ones that would look at our caricatures and wish we actually looked like that. By the way, speaking of that, you know what I left yesterday without getting?
What's that?
My beer.
Board? Oh, your beer.
Oh,
your beer. All right. Okay.
So, just bring it to me when we do the... I won't see you again until the beer thing.
And not only that, the second batch will be out by then, so...
Yeah, maybe okay. I'll just pick up some then. You keep that. I'll hopefully...
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that. Everything was enjoyable.
Hold off on paddleboarding and canoeing till next time.
Yeah, I didn't really do paddleboarding. You know, I tell you what I really... I'm telling you, I just loved sitting out there. And the nap I had Saturday afternoon was... I'll never forget it. Anyway.
Most memorable nap.
It really was. It was a memorable nap. Yeah. That's what I am. I'm a 64-year-old guy that's, you know, got... I'm going to put that in my nap diary.
Your best naps.
It really was. Oh, I'm telling you. Let's get to a couple things. Dan, stick around for this. And then we're going to let you go and get your news ready. And then then Fred and I will talk about some stuff that's going on in the world of sports that will bore you. Opening ceremonies. I'm not sure how aware everyone is. You know, tell you what, Dan, stick around for a second. I got to get Fred to do a little business, and then we'll come back to it, because it was, of course, controversy involving religion, Dan. You'll love this.
Hey, Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. If you have a small business, I've been telling you for years now, go to chamberplan.ca, check it out, check it out. Find out how your small business can be part of the Chamber Plan. Affordable for small business, yes it is. You can buy in at different levels, all sorts of products under the overall umbrella. It really works for small business. Several. What am I talking about? Over 30,000 Canadian businesses part of this. They've been around for pretty much 40 years now. So that gives you an indication of how it works for small business. Go to chamberplan.ca. Get a free quote. Dental and prescriptions and therapies and the Teladoc system where you can be directed to specialists. Fantastic. Travel insurance. Real groovy, man. It's the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. Chamberplan.ca.
So, Dan, are you aware of the controversy surrounding the opening ceremonies? And the Christians are all up in arms because they thought something was mocking the Last Supper. Are you aware of that, or do I have to get into that? Do I have to explain it?
No, I'm aware that it... I'm not quite sure what the whole... The Last Supper controversy. Like, was it really designed to look like the Last Supper?
It wasn't. Just know that part. So I'm going to get into this. So it wasn't designed to look like that. The part that, well, there's several parts that are just absurd. First of all, the Last Supper is not a photograph, you dimwits. It wasn't taken at the Last Supper. There was no photography. There was nobody. It's a depiction, a painting by Da Vinci of the Last Supper. Which, you know,
and we don't even know if there was a Last Supper, do we?
No one knows. It's like it's
what kills me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's his depiction of the night before Jesus was crucified by the Jews, and you know, partly, and but it's a painting. So I'm sure most people listening have heard this by now. At the opening ceremonies, there was sort of a tableau or a gathering of different characters. And let me read you Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, who, of course, adopted a...
Fucking freak.
Exactly. Who adopted a young teenage black boy, like you do. Mm-hmm. Last night's mockery of the Last Supper was shocking and insulting to Christian people around the world who watched the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. The war on our faith and traditional values knows no bounds today, but we know that truth and virtue will always prevail. So why this is annoying is because, first of all, it wasn't a mockery of the Last Supper, which, as I've now established, was not a photograph. It was depicting the Feast of Dionysus, which is a Greek mythology. Were there a lot of people at a table? And the reason that they've, by the way, you know why they felt, because there's transgender people, there's gay people, there's people of color. All set
okay,
up.
Can you help me with this, Howard? Because I'm really didn't get into this issue. So tell me exactly what the problem was. You know what I mean? What did this all come from? What did they see that was offensive and like?
And well, what they saw was a depiction of characters.
Okay.
In a row.
Mm-hmm.
That made them think that this ceremony was mocking the Last Supper.
Okay,
instead,
I get it.
Because they're
yes.
dimwits, what it was a tribute or an homage, if you will, to the Feast mm-hmm. of Dionysus, which okay. is part of Greek mythology, which is part of the Olympic tradition, you know, the Greeks. But here's what I wanted to get into, which is they band together, the Christians, they band together because they believe their religion is under attack. But as Louis C.K. said, if you want to know who won, just look at what year it
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
We say it's 2024. Christians, you won. Catholics,
yeah.
you win. You're the predominant religion of the day. But mm-hmm. yeah, so they're there. So and meanwhile, the people in France don't give two shits what Mike Johnson thinks.
Well, you know, it's part of that MAGA strategy too, because yes, their base is all those mentally ill evangelicals, and they are, they're just evil bastards, and they've just really got a hold on to that. So I think any issue to do with religion and Christianity, they latch onto it.
Yeah, exactly.
And when I hear Trump was talking about, oh, I love you Christians, you Christians, yeah, you know, yeah, vote for me this time, you'll never have to vote again. I know what he meant, meaning once we get power, I'll be so good, you'll, if you haven't, if you don't normally vote, you won't have to go in the future, whatever. But he said, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm thinking, you bastard, you're not a Christian.
So here's the actual description. It was the Feast of Dionysus, Greek god of festivity and feasting and ritual and theater. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. But the dim-witted right-wing Christo-fascists, whatever they're called, all they saw were a bunch of diverse people, transgender, you know, sort of, you got to look at the picture. I don't know where they got the Last Supper out of it, other than there's about 10 or 12 people, whatever, in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that was
no one was specifically depicting, like, there was, you know,
there's no Jesus in the picture.
There was no Jesus in the picture, and there's no actual, you know, this person replaces that disciple or whatever with the whole Last Supper. By the way, Fred, whether or not you believe in the book, in the Bible or not, but the Last Supper is a bigger thing than in the Bible. There's all kinds of verses about, you know, what happened and what Jesus said at that. Well, it's there, but it's not, it has nothing to do with
it. No, but the picture, like Da Vinci's picture. Yeah, of course he's depicting the Last Supper, which is referenced in the Bible. The Last Supper is referenced as the night before Jesus was crucified. He got together with the apostles for their Last Supper, and it's always depicted where Judas is in the picture, and Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas. I understand the reference point, but the picture that we all know of as the Last Supper wasn't painted at the Last Supper. Wasn't,
no, it's painted, you know, from 1494 to
exactly
1498. Yes. I looked it up.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. So was Mona Lisa there?
But, you know, the fact is the religious people got so upset about this because they think that picture was taken at the Last Supper. Anyway, so that's was that. There was.
I started to rewatch the opening ceremonies late yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm going to go through because it's like it was 4 hours long, and I just didn't have time at the time, so I'll take it in small bites. But a lot of it has to do with the French culture and things that have happened in
absolutely
in
it does
France. You know, they had a balloon that looked like the old kind of style, you know, helium balloon or whatever they had floating around there. There was that in one end, and just
to Americans that doesn't matter because the whole world is about them, Dan.
No, exactly.
Yeah. You know, people wouldn't consider that.
Dan's right.
They're stupid. You know, again, Americans, like, they have the least percentage of people with passports, you know, in the developed world. It's the U.S. or nothing.
Yeah, Dan's right. You know, part of the depiction of this festival, the Greek god of festivity and feasting, it says French culture deeply rooted in feasting and festivity and performing arts. And that's what they're depicting. Only the Americans were offended by it, or the Christians were offended by it, thinking it had something to do with their thing.
Yeah, can you imagine being in a position where that actually matters to you?
Oh, I know.
And again, that's why I'm not really up on it, because, again, I'm reading this stuff and I'm thinking, oh, really? I don't even have time for this. That became your issue over the weekend is crazy.
Here's somebody who says Da Vinci's painting in the Last Supper was painted as an insult to Christianity, and half of y'all have a copy of it in your dining room. Oh, yeah, but you wouldn't believe how many people are like, they mock us, we boycott them. Like, all these hicks who don't have passports are going to boycott France. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Don't go.
Eat your freedom fries.
Eat your freedom fries. Great point. There was a highlight for Canada, even though we're getting hosed with this soccer thing, which we're going to get into when you get your news. But we had spoken about Celine Dion, who has got stiff person's disease. And apparently there's a great documentary on Prime right now all about her battle with this and the fact that she was probably never to perform much anymore. But, you know, we can be proud of the fact that, you know, the world right now, one of the big takeaways from the opening ceremonies was her performance of a song. And I think Dan and I and our friend Lumby were talking about this yesterday. Say what you will about her music. Maybe you're not a big fan, but you have to be impressed by just how good she can sing. Have a listen to this. Like, people were freaking out. All the people on the panel and the commentators were just losing it at how great that performance was. So, you know, we got that going for us.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the opening ceremonies, to be honest. But that did, yeah. Yep, as a Canadian, you got to be proud of that, no doubt about it.
Come on over and we'll watch it later today, friend.
Yeah, you guys. Seriously, you got.
I'm good.
I haven't watched it either, really. Dan. I'm
not one for opening and closing ceremonies and all that. I just want to get to the meat of it in a select few events that I.
What's your meat then? What meat have you watched?
I like the men's 100. You know. And I like, I'll watch some of the basketball because Canada has a good team. I'll follow the women's soccer because of the controversy they're embroiled in. You know, that kind of thing.
This year, I'm going to get a chance to watch the golf, which apparently starts today. Canada's got a pretty good team in that. Mackenzie Hughes and I'm trying to think who else. Nick Taylor would be on.
Okay, good.
Dan, come back and give us about 20 minutes here to hash out all the important sports stories of the day. Dan Duran's news coming up. They do this thing on The Edge called The Edge Time Machine, and our buddy Rob Johnson was guesting on it, I think, and said, special guest Robbie J takes a look back 33 years ago at our top 10 songs of the month. Before music changed forever. This is from July 1991. And this song was in our playlist at that time.
Wow.
I know. I already played one of the songs, Crowded House, Fall at Your Feet. Some of the other songs from July of 1991. Bare Naked Ladies, If I Had $1 Million. Unbelievable by EMF. And Spirit of the West in a song called Political. Anyway, very interesting, and thanks to Robbie J.
Yeah, Crowded House. I love Crowded House. A few weeks ago, I think they were at the Budweiser stage, but like tickets, like most concerts now, are like over $300 or something.
Are they really?
So I didn't. Yeah. Well, again, you know, concerts have just gone through the roof because they're not making any money off their recordings.
No, I guess.
You know, compared to what they used to be. But Crowded House, Don't Dream It's Over. That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Let me quickly
played on CFNY.
Absolutely. Let me quickly tell you about Boron One and how you can find out more about this company. Boron One Holdings, the news from just July here, July 2024, advances the licensing process for its Piscanja Boron project. I don't know what that means, but maybe you should have somebody look at it if you're looking for a junior mining company that's about to step out of the junior mining company shadow. This might be a company for you. Freddie and I, we don't know anything. We just, they support us. We support them. So have a look at it. Or maybe have your Sherpa look at it. Have our Sherpa look at it and see if it's right for your portfolio. The company's name is Boron One. The website, you should know by now, is boron1.com.
Speaking of our Sherpa, Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. There's Sherpa Tim, and there's Sherpa Jay. And again, standing offer. If you have a portfolio, not sure it's performing the way it should, they will have a look. No obligations, no cost, no strings attached. They'll have a look, give you an assessment, a second opinion. Can't go wrong with a second opinion. They'll tell you where you're at, and then you decide from there whether you want to stick with what you got or come over to the Sherpa side. It's something everyone should take advantage of. Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
Oh, wow. I was just looking here on Facebook to make sure the feed is working. It was Rick Moranis that got punched in the face, according to somebody.
Oh, here. Right. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Spencer. Fucking Spencer. Kill yourself. Wow.
Can you imagine that, walking down the street? Pow, somebody clocks you.
No, Jesus. I know. One of the stories that broke this weekend while we were together was news about a friend of ours and a friend of the show's. The guy we started working with in 2001. He was a host of live audio wrestling, and then at some point became the news anchor of the Humble and Fred Show. And of course, he went on to much bigger things than that. And Jeff Merrick let go at Sportsnet. On his Twitter feed, on his X feed, he says, "After 13 great years at Sportsnet, I'm moving on. It's been an incredible journey, and I'm thankful to have worked alongside so many great people and played a role in bringing sports and hockey news to fans across Canada and the world. More to come soon. Jeff."
Yeah, it's quite the story, actually. In fact, I'm surprised it wasn't a story earlier, because what are we, July
29th.
What is it, 29th today? And he hasn't been on Sportsnet, disappeared quickly, early in the month, maybe the end of June at the NHL draft. He went down there for the draft, and after the first day, all of a sudden sort of disappeared. And it just sort of became a thing in the past week or so. I guess a lot of people maybe thought he was on holidays or summer break or whatever. But there seems to be a lot of mystery surrounding what happened.
The draft was June 28th. I've got some video here on his site of him talking to one of the Leaf picks, Ben Danford.
That's right, yeah, defenseman. But again, you interacted with him, and everything's cool. Like, everything's fine, and he's an extremely talented young man. I'm sure I'm anxious to see where he will resurface, because, you know, the business is, you know, chewed up and spat out a lot of people, but he's at a level where, yeah, I think he'll be fine. He will be fine.
Now, to be clear, I didn't talk to him. I just sent him a note Friday night after we found out, and just said, "Hey, I hope everything's well. You know, blah, 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 blah." He said, "It's the biz, baby. All good. I'll be fine. Thanks for reaching out, Howard. Means a lot. Next message. Can I borrow $20? Funny.
A little speculation on my part.
Yes.
Although, well, at TSN, their main hockey insider, their, you know, their draft and trade rumor guru is Bob McKenzie. And he's sort of retiring. They're easing him out. He just does special events now and everything. Day to day, he's really backed off. And, you know, that seems to me that would be a nice position for Jeffrey, although they have Darren Dreger there too, but they had Darren Dreger and Bob McKenzie at one point. So his knowledge of hockey, he'd be quite an asset there.
You know what I didn't realize?
Speculation.
Well, no, that's what I wanted to hear from you. I didn't realize until this conversation that the space between his last interaction with the audience and the announcement was almost a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I thought, and because we were talking about the draft, but for some reason I, in my mind, I had it like the draft was recent and Jeff just came home.
No, and the weird thing was, he was there for day one, round one, and then gone. So if a guy's let go, it's like, why would they do that? Why would they send him? Or why wouldn't they wait till he got back? So,
well, yeah, that's a and when we were talking about it Friday night, you know, I mean, you know, knowing the business the way we do, you know, maybe it was something like they were negotiating and they just came to an impasse and Jeff bailed on it or they fired him. But what's your...
Or maybe he said, I have this offer. I'm going to take it.
Right.
And like a lot of these outlets do, they say, okay, that's it. You're done. Out. Yep. Maybe that's it. Because, you know, with hockey, again, it's struggling in the States. It's getting there. But, you know, it takes little baby steps. You know, for an American, like all these networks now, TNT, TNT, ESPN, all these networks that are really have latched on to hockey. There's a spot for him. Like, what did I... Did I say that to you? I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a U.S. gig, to be honest.
I want to go back to what you just said, because that makes more sense to me. Because, first of all, I mean, we were kind of speculating. Did something happen? Did he make an untoward remark? That's not Jeff.
No.
More likely, he... Yeah, that makes more sense, because as we know from this business, anytime anytime somebody's going to leave the radio, or the television, I guess, in this case, they want you off. Just in case, just in case what? Just in case you say something. That makes, because the last line of his note here, well, is basically him saying more to come. What? Why was there a month-long gap in information about this?
You know, Howard, I don't know. And that's why what I find bewildering. But a lot of these guys that are hockey heavy, they get the summer off, right? Like that show that I really enjoy on TSN, Overdrive, the afternoon show, like a couple of those guys get the summer off. Soon as the draft is over, you know, Jeff O'Neill and Jamie McClellan, they get the summer off. So I think we're sort of in this mindset that once the summer arrives, these guys, you don't hear from them until the hockey season starts again. Maybe that was part of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But he abruptly left. But I was oblivious to it. I didn't know. And the thing is, you and I are sort of insiders. We know a lot of people that know Jeff and probably have worked with Jeff and work with him now that you would think halfway through the month, hey, have you guys heard from Merrick or what's going on with Merrick? I never got any of that. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of... And he posted two things. He posted, hey, thanks for the outpouring of kind words. It really means the world to me. And he posted that after his original post, which I read. But, I mean, the guy's got 244,000 Twitter followers. Thousands of people commented. And, you know, I'm more active on this site than you are. And I read a lot of comments. Comments is, for me, that's where some of the best stuff is. I'm going to say I read 100 comments. Not one was negative. Which is pretty pretty amazing on this platform, where there's always a smattering of negativity, but not with this kid.
Well, he's another one of those guys that would be in the category of a thinking man's sportscaster.
Yeah,
you know, he's just sort of that way, very analytical, very knowledgeable, easy to listen to. All those things he's got going for him. And he's a nice fella. He's a nice fella.
Nah, and you know what? For the first 20 or 30 comments here, I'm looking at it again. I forgot this, that he responded to a bunch of people, which is very nice. I like to think about what you said. Let's. It's got to be that, because he's not a dick. And, you know, he's a pretty liberal, woke dude. He's not going to be saying stupid shit to women or men.
Listen, there's a lot of Canadians that have got some nice gigs in the States because, you know, you're rewarded down there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just based on numbers, there's lots of dough and lots of positions. And he's just so solid that why not? Let's see.
You were talking about those networks carrying hockey. And I was thinking about you last night as I watched the end of the golf. This was one of, I guess, CBS's last, probably one of their last few broadcasts of golf for the year. Because the PGA Tour has playoffs now, like every other sport. And that's all coming up in August. And so after August, all the regular stuff is done, and then there'll be the President's Cup in Montreal. But it was kind of cool for me. Jim Nantz going, all of a sudden he was doing a little promo. And he goes, and there's football on CBS tonight. CFL action at 7 o'clock. And I can't remember if it was the Alouettes and somebody. And hearing it out of Nance's mouth was kind of cool. And it's on CBS. It's on their second sports. Tier sports, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was kind of cool hearing Nance talk
about
it.
They just take the TSN feed.
Yeah, but I guess it's content for them.
No, absolutely. Yeah, they have a sports channel as well, CBS.
So that's the Jeff Merrick story. And now the other big controversy, and where do you begin? Now, I know you were like, this is just, they're picking on the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it. I mean, it turns out that Canada, we have a bit of, this is not the first time. Canada's soccer CEO says that the men's team has used similar tactics for years, including attempts to use drones for spying during its historic run at the Copa America this summer. Mm-hmm. So let's start with this. The fallout. What? Well, the fallout is more than just the Olympics now.
Yeah, well, where do we begin? Team Canada, our women's Team Canada. So the coach is suspended for a year, an assistant coach suspended for a year. They're sent home. So Canada, in their round robin, starts minus 6 points.
Yeah, 6 points down.
So you get three for a victory, right? So they beat New Zealand. They beat France. The victory over France, no one expected. It was huge, mm-hmm. France being the home team. So Canada has two victories, no points. But if they beat Colombia on Wednesday, they will make it to the next round, and then they're back on even keel with everyone else.
And the federal government says they're going to withhold some of Canada Soccer's funding.
Yeah.
Like, which I don't understand in response to this scandal.
Neither do I.
But why penalize the whole program's funding? Like, that just seems to me, it's just another example of, you know, doing something for the sake of doing something.
Right. And listen, we overcompensate just like we did with Ben Johnson way back when. Here's the thing. They all do it. And of course, that's no excuse. Here's my problem. If that's the United States, that's China, that's another big power, there's no way they're penalized 6 points. This is another opportunity. Again, I know maybe, you know, I'm paranoid or whatever, a way to beat up on Canada. So you suspend the coach and the assistant coach, you send them home, and they've been suspended for a year or something by the IOC or whatever.
By FIFA.
Which is great. It was their decision. Why are you penalizing the players? They've been, you know, they've been working towards this for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. So now you're penalizing the players. I don't think that's fair.
Well, none of it's fair. I mean, although, again, that's where I'm, you know, differ a little bit. This isn't the first time. Even though what I said to you Friday or whenever we were talking about it, I said, you know, I don't understand why they need to do it at all. Like, what is the point?
No, I know. I don't either.
Like, I mean, I'm one of the guys we were talking to. He said, well, you know, soccer, any little...
Yeah. And you know, there's an answer to that question. We just don't know it.
No, like, for sure.
Why do it at all?
Yeah, because everyone does it.
Yes.
Apparently everyone does it. But yeah, that's a good point, too. Like, you're penalizing these players, even though their coaches were the ones that were doing it, but on behalf of the players. But it's the team, it's the country that's getting penalized.
Yeah, and fined like $300,000. And don't tell me that if this was Team USA, they would get the same penalty. They wouldn't.
And I know that's the part that I agree with you.
It's all about money. It's all about exposure. It's all about profile. No. Canada's a great convenience in these situations.
It's just too bad.
And that's what bothers me.
The thing is, what you just said, I agree with. But we'll never know.
You never know.
You never know. But, the fact that the federal government seems like this is just so
Yeah, that's piling stock on your own people.
Right. It's so, and it's such a stock reaction.
Yes.
So to show you that, you know, we don't agree with what the Canadian team did, we're going to pull Canada's soccer funding, some of it, withhold it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and, you know, it's not like, okay, I would understand, like, the Hockey Canada controversy. I get that.
Right. Like, oh, yeah, that's different.
That's
yeah.
different. In this particular case, it's not like children were harmed. There was no... It was just some cheating. Well, mm-hmm. it's drone cheating. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't doping.
Mm-hmm.
And what it has to do with... And why the federal government would penalize our country's soccer program makes right. no sense to me.
You feel bad for the players because look at it this way, too. Another dimension to this. So Canada beats Colombia on Wednesday. They get into the second round and they're back on even keel with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they win, if ultimately they're the defending gold medal champs. If they win gold again, or each victory they get, it's going to be tainted. People, oh yeah, but they cheat.
Yeah.
Which will be very frustrating because it's like, again, I go back to 1988. We knew Carl Lewis was juiced up just as much as Ben Johnson was, but we come away, you know, the Canadians cheat and all the other weasels are going in the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the situation here. Canada, if they advance and do well, they will be accused of being cheaters when you know everybody else is doing it. Just part of the frustration of that whole Olympic thing that bothers me. And another reason I'm, you know, I'm arm's length with the whole thing.
Well, so am I. I mean, first of all, I didn't watch any of the opening ceremonies and won't go back and watch the 4 hours. I mean, I saw the highlights. I get a mm-hmm. sense of it. You know, the controversy with the Last Supper picture I was interested in because, of course, it has to do with religion. But I won't watch any of the sports until two things. If Canada's in the finals of something cool, yeah, I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Canadians are at a convenient time, if I can watch some of these Canadian guys that I follow week to week play an Olympic golf tournament, as I said to you last week, I'd never mm-hmm. seen any of it because the time was so fucked up.
Yeah.
So I'll watch some of that, but I'm not going to be, again, unless a Canadian team, I might watch the soccer team if they get to the finals.
Yeah, I remember back in 2020, you know, watching the last couple of soccer games because all of a sudden, what? We have a chance to win Olympic gold? Women's mm-hmm. soccer? Yeah, I'll check that out. And I would do that again. And I don't think there's any Canadian, you know, the marquee sort of event is the men's 100, right, of the Olympics. Everything's sort of focused on it. I don't even know if a Canadian would even be a contender in that. So I don't even know if I would watch that. But, if Canadians are doing well in one particular thing, I'll tune in. But generally, I know people that will sit down and watch hours of the Olympics, like swimming and all that stuff. It's like,
I think we touched on this last week, or maybe we were talking about it around the fire. But at some point, we've had a conversation about how the Olympics over the years have kind of lost some of their cachet, their sports, for me at least, because, you know, I lived in Calgary when Calgary got the Winter Olympics. I didn't live there when they got it, but I was there when they were awarded the Winter Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty exciting time for a city. And that was the early 80s. And yeah, mm-hmm. long time ago. But the Olympics just seemed more special. Years ago.
Yes, I agree.
Because of what you just said, I'm very similar. I'm a kind of an arm's length. Years ago, I would have watched. Years ago, not that long ago, I would have made a point of watching those opening ceremonies.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever have. To be honest, Delise does. She gets all excited about it, but I don't know.
A lot of tedious. I like that when the Canadian team comes in and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of cool.
In fact, I have said that to her. When the Canadians are coming in, let me know.
No.
Let me know, okay, doll? I'm over here watching something else.
Yeah.
Let me know, hey, doll.
Doll, tell me when some cool shit happens.
Yeah.
We're going to change subject now. I've got a guest that I didn't tell you about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just found out just a few minutes ago that this gentleman wanted to speak about a... I got a note from my brother, Edmonton Steve. Mm-hmm. Simply, are you going to talk about the Jasper fires? Yes. I had it written down.
So do I.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, so just so he doesn't... Just so you don't think that we're so Toronto-centric. It says it right here. Jasper Fire, right there, buddy. Just so you know. Welcome to this program. A reporter for many years with CBC, an executive producer. Once a storied, legendary Just for Laughs and such. But now he's a fire. He's our main reporter in Alberta. It's my brother, Edmonton Steve. Hello, Stephen.
I'm just getting my microphone set up.
It doesn't matter. I can hear you. You're fine.
You hear me good. Now?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds fine. Great. Yeah.
How's everybody?
Well, I know you think here in Toronto we don't care about Alberta, but we had a conversation yesterday, myself and Jeff Lumby, who has spent lots of time in Alberta, and Dan Duran from Alberta. I had written it down. Fred wrote it down. So I know you were listening to the show. Like, when are you guys going to talk about the fire?
I just assumed you weren't.
Really?
Well... I mean, there's the Olympics, there's golf, there's the lake. I mean, really, how does Jasper?
It's big, eh? 700 yep. million is what the latest report I saw. 700 million.
There's one thing you have to remember, Stephen, and we've said it many times. The East cares way more about the West than the West cares about the East.
Oh, that's true.
And many people this weekend... at this trailer park, you know, have visited Jasper and were quite upset.
Oh, really? What were they saying?
Well, just how, what a shame it is, because a lot of people from here have gone out, you know, and done the little tour and, you know, Jasper, Banff, all that stuff. And it's just tragic to think that beautiful place that you visited would be ravaged by fire.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, that that number I put there, so it's just $700 million in damage so far, and they say that the fire will burn for the next 3 months. 25,000 people, which is half the population, have been taken out from population of the area. So what are you hearing? Because how far is Edmonton from Jasper?
About a three-hour drive. It's like in Alberta, as you guys probably know, people from Edmonton often go to Jasper, and people from Calgary often go to Banff,
right?
And so you know we've been to Jasper many times, and it's the thing that I've seen here is people are really sad. A lot of people around Edmonton have been back and forth to Jasper many times, and you know, like people have, you know, have gone there and got married there, and it's like kind of their go-to place here, right? And the good news is that they didn't, I mean, the news was quite bad on Thursday. Nobody quite knew how much of it was burnt down. So now apparently a lot of it has been burnt from the west. The east side hasn't been burnt too much. I guess in general terms, I think about a third has been burnt, like literally leveled. Wow. And people from Jasper are all over the West. People are in Valemont or in Calgary. A lot of people in Edmonton, and so they've been put up all over the place. But they're not going to be able to go back for a long time. I mean, even the places that haven't been burnt, there's smoke damage and there's particles in the air, so nobody knows quite what the makeup of the air is. And
are you getting that in Edmonton, any smoke, or the westerly winds taking it somewhere else?
We did, actually. I mean, last week and like for a couple of weeks, it was hot and pretty smoky. But the last 3 or 4 days, it hasn't been bad. It's we've kind of got that. It's coming. It's fall feel right now. I mean, after that, the heat, we've, you know, right now it's about 12, 13 degrees. So it's cool. It's cool here. Sunny day, and there's no smoke.
On the Global News site, sorry for that. On the Global News site, it's very interesting. It's called Global News Jasper Wildfire, and they've got all these before and after pictures of some of the main streets, some of the historic, and it's just crazy.
Horrible.
You know, I was trying to say this to the guys yesterday, because I lived in Calgary and I lived in Saskatchewan, as you know, but I've never been to Jasper. we didn't do it as a family from Moose Jaw, and I never went there because I lived an hour from Banff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first time I went to the mountains in grade 11, you know, we got a car and we drove to Marmot Basin in Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I guess it was just the place to go. But like I say, it's sort of, it's just sad. I mean, a lot of people are just around Edmonton or everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, I bet.
You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be like, you know, a fire ravaging the Kawarthas where we all are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A place you sort of take for granted. It's your recreation. It's beautiful. You know, it's where your good times are spent. And then all of a sudden that happens. Have they figured out, was it lightning strike or was it a human caused it?
They say it was partly light. I think it was lightning strike. There's no discussion that it was a human started.
Yeah.
So I think it was a lightning strike. And there's something about the valleys, the valley that Jasper is in, that sort of, it was kind of like a perfect storm. And also, I mean, they're talking about a firewall that was hundreds of feet in the air.
Wow.
You know, and also people are talking. I mean, Daniel Smith was on last week, and a lot of controversy about her.
She's the premier of Alberta for you people who don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it in context.
Well, yeah, she's a conservative Bible thumper. Did someone ask her why God didn't prevent this?
There's a lot of discussion as to whether they were crocodile tears. I mean, one of the controversial discussions going on right now is that the government pulled back on the fire team that used to be the rapid response team. So there's been a lot of pullback on the fire group. Apparently, the people who are fighting the fire are now under in contract negotiations, and so as much as they're saying they did everything they could, there's been things that have happened the last couple of years that pulled back on the amount of fire help that would have been available. So we'll see.
Well, it's a shame, my friend.
You know, it's what you say there, and especially when conservatives. And again, I've traditionally voted conservative. I'm just saying, conservative and far right, like she is, everything becomes political, right? Like now.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than people saying, hey, you know, how could we have prevented this? How can we stop it from happening again? It's finger pointing. It becomes
all
political.
All
just
political.
Where we are nowadays.
And yeah. I read something this morning in preparation of the Jasper report that this is like a once in a 100-year event. That
I don't know about that.
Has it ever happened? No? Okay.
Ask Dan Duran.
And Dan will know.
Honestly, I haven't heard that.
That's right. So where did it start? So you say it was lightning strike, and it started outside of town and then just quickly swept through.
Apparently, there were two fires, and there was a fire that was 5 kilometers from the town, and before anybody could blink, it hit the town in an instant. And they pulled the fire guys and girls out of there. But it was one of those, apparently in this day and age, like there's this new type of fire that creates its own weather. And it was just really dangerous.
So where do all those people go now? The 25? Like what? Why did I get 25,000? Because of
there was 25,000. I mean, there's Jasper isn't 25,000 large, but there was 25,000 people in the town.
Right,
it's the middle
visiting,
of summer.
Right.
And they like I say, they scattered all throughout the West. I mean, at first you couldn't even get west. Sorry, you couldn't get east of Jasper because that road was cut off. So people were going west, and there's a town called Valemont, and then going south to Banff, and then over to Calgary. And then they opened that road, and they were going east to and Hinton. Hinton is a big town just east of Jasper. So like I say, people are literally spread around Western Canada right now.
Wow. Yeah,
so there's an actual town of Jasper, and that was leveled? So the sweet little hamlet of Jasper is gone?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, that
one. So it's sort of like, I just got a text from a friend of mine in Jasper. But it's not the whole town, Fred. It's about a third.
Right. Oh, okay.
What so about the a lot of the critical infrastructure has been maintained.
Yeah. What about the Jasper Park Lodge, the Jasper Golf Course, that area?
They don't know. You know what's funny? I haven't heard about the Jasper Golf Course, but I know the Park Lodge, the fair. Mm. They call it the Fairmont. That was hit, but not too bad. It's mostly that's been mostly maintained. But if you look on the internet, you can see people driving down the street where it's just like leveled, like nothing, right? Wow. I mean, I saw an interview with one of the firemen, and he was saying he was fighting the fire, and he was literally across the street from his own house, and he couldn't save it.
Wow. Well, listen, man.
Tragic.
We have been thinking and talking about it here in Ontario. And appreciate your report this morning in your house coat, which looks very comfortable.
You like it? I should have taken it off.
No, it does.
I was just about to do my exercises.
No, but you look very good. It's a very warm looking, almost, I don't know, is it made of some kind of finery out there in Edmonton? But it looks very comfortable. Stephen, I feel like I haven't seen you in person. Hi, buddy.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going all
also,
right.
Also, you know what else happened in Western Canada
yesterday? Tell us.
There was a golf tournament in Calgary.
Yes.
And
the women's...
Kirk Anderson didn't do as well as she'd hoped, but I watched a bit of it yesterday, and there's all these people who follow her now.
Yes.
And yesterday afternoon, the last three or four holes that she was playing, the crowd was drunk. And they're singing O Canada, and it's just an unruliness that was very un-Canadian.
Well, it's it is Calgary. I've played that golf course, by the way, that they were doing that tournament on. It's Grey Golf.
What was the name of the
course? I don't know. Greyhawk something or other.
Yeah, something like that.
Golf needs more of that. Rowdiness.
Yes, exactly.
I think so.
Stephen Glassman, everybody. He is the middle child. He's the middle child he's the middle child of Lou and Luba Glassman. He and I shared a bedroom until he got promoted. and I've always looked up to him, except for that weird period when he was a teenager and had acne. Anyway, there he is. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
Who didn't?
Oh, I used to get so fucking mad at him because I would taunt him all the time. Oh, yeah.
I still have pox right
now. No, you're fine.
Oh.
There you go. Take your beautiful house coat.
Okay, buddy. See ya.
Appreciate you.
I gotta figure out how to get out of here.
Just hit end. Just go away. Just I'm leaving.
Oh, they'll leave.
Look. There you go. That's my brother. I didn't want him to think we didn't care here in Ontario.
No, but that is true. We care more about them than they care about us. And I don't mean Steve specific. The West doesn't care about the East like the East cares about the West.
Well, he you know, it's funny that you said, is that funny, Howard? Because because a week and a half ago, when we had the second of the torrential rain days, so it was the Tuesday, and that was the afternoon when all the power went out. And you think that they don't pay attention, but you know, we're the national news here. So I got a note. I got a note from him. Hey, what's going on in Toronto? And I said, there's no power.
Yeah, but most of those Westerners are going, I hope all those Eastern bastards drown.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Dan Duran, we were talking about Jasper there with Brother Steve. And remind me of our conversation yesterday with Lumby. Had you been to Jasper?
Me? Oh, yeah.
You
Dan
Duran.
Steve was saying, yeah.
In the bus.
We had a school bus that was converted. That's where we went to Jasper all the time. I think actually we spent a few days in a garage there because the brakes on the school bus broke, and so my dad had to wait for a part to come in. So we were wandering around the town and parked in a service station. But anyway, that was one of the many memories that I've had there. There's all kinds of that's where we did a lot of our provincial park and national park. Camping when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I learned to ski in Banff. And Lumbee did the same thing with his family. They went out to
In Moose Jaw, because Moose Jaw is south. Moose Jaw is southeast of there. And so for us, you know, my parents never did any of those things. But, you know, I always thought of going west as going on a line to Calgary. And in all the years, I lived in Alberta for 5 years. Almost 5 years, and never had occasion to go up there. And well, it's not that far from Calgary. So what is it? If it's 3 hours from Edmonton, what is it from Calgary? Do you know?
Well, it's from Calgary. It's probably 4 to 5, somewhere in there. Somewhere in, yeah.
Anyway,
you have to go through Banff and then up the Columbia Ice Fields.
Well, now I feel bad.
I did that in like 2002. Delise and I and the kids, we did the ice fields up into Jasper in Banff and all that. Fabulous. Lake Louise. Oh.
That whole zone, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds, and there's great, there's Mount Edith Cabal in that area. There's the Moline Canyon that I remember walking through and doing some hiking around. My dad, actually, not in Jasper, but in the Columbia Ice Fields, early in his life, he was a tour guide for the Columbia Ice Fields. He used to drive around in one of those cats that hold people.
Oh, that's cool. Is that where
Howard, have you never done the ice field thing?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's amazing. I've done nothing. Because you're wearing shorts and t-shirts, right? But you're on like a glacier and it's warm. It's excellent.
Dan, is that where the Lord called to your father and said, Clifford, you need to go preach and to spread the word of Jesus?
Yeah.
It's interesting that your father's bus broke down because years later. Interesting. because years later, Dan drove from Moose Jaw to Edmonton, and his car that he was driving broke down. And he just left it there. It was some piece of crap. Was it a Honda? The red Honda?
No, it was my Toyota Corolla.
Ah, and it had run its course, and you just left it there to die.
Well, not exactly. I did. You know, it was late at night, and. I ended up, it was in Piapot, Saskatchewan. It just decided to break down. And so I sold it to a guy for $30. The battery was worth more than $30, and it was a brand new battery. But the guy was, you know, and then the service station attendant that called the guy that bought the car, he wanted a little piece of the action, too. He says, I think I'll deserve a little something for my troubles. And then one of the guys drove me out to the highway and dropped me off on the highway.
So you could hitchhike. Yeah.
So I could hitchhike at night.
Yeah. That's great. That's a true
great story.
That's a true story from the Dan
true
Duran
story.
Files.
There's way more to that story, but yeah.
Hey, Dan, I think this will be of interest to you because, you know, you being of the age you are, I don't know what you are, 90, 100, but a younger fellow than you, Mick Jagger, turned 81 on the weekend. And a couple weeks ago, we were talking about some footage surfaced of him in concert when we were comparing and contrasting his physical abilities to that of the president, Joseph Biden. And I don't know how he's doing it. Like, I saw some of it this morning of him jumping around on stage at 81 with the energy of a much, much younger man.
Well, he was jam-packed with energy from early on, so maybe he's got more gas in his tank than most people. Just, you know, because he's, like him, how limber he is on the stage,
I know,
from the beginning.
But I have a theory. What do you want to say, Fred?
Got a theory?
I do. Of course I have a theory. I wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't. Fred, what did you want to say?
I saw something last week. They did a concert in Vancouver.
Right.
After the show, like at 11 at night, he just wandered down the street, went into this Thai restaurant. And how gracious and great he was with everyone there. Enjoyed a Thai meal. Took some pictures with people. I thought, what a thrill that would be. Can you imagine? You're having your Thai dinner and you look over and there's Mick. Great.
I mean, meanwhile, I'm 64. I couldn't make it through the whole day Saturday without napping twice. But here's my theory. See, like, I think this is probably going to apply to the billionaire class that the earth has never had so many rich, rich people as it does now. You got to figure that Mick Jagger, like I take supplements every day. You know, I take some magnesium and I take a probiotic and I take some vitamins, vitamin D. I take some B12 on your recommendation, Freddie. But you got to wonder, like, what is the level that Mick Jagger and those guys are taking? What are they taking, Dan? You know, and you just know that they've got access to some kind of science that we don't. I don't know. I can't say for certain that it's like goat embryo injections or something. But you know that their vitamins or whatever they're getting are different than ours.
Way more expensive.
Yeah, sometimes I'm bewildered in situations like this, Howard. Is this a bit or is this an actual
part of it is a bit. I mean, I think it's also the truth, I think.
Well, that's what I mean. So you think they would have access to something that we wouldn't?
I do. Seriously? I mean, I mean, I don't know if it's goat embryos, but I guarantee you that they're getting transfusions. They're getting some kind of baby seal blood. I don't know what they're getting, but they're getting something because he looks at 81 like most people look at 61.
Yeah, I don't know what to say other than, you know, he's kept the weight off and he's kept physically active through all those years. So he's never really let it go. He's never really had, you know, he's not like a lot of us gets really fat and then loses it. Like I've done many times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, seriously, like they haven't stopped for 50 years. You know what I mean? Like.
Okay, but, you know, you look at Keith Richards. Again, he's got to be in his late 70s or close to 80. And all the stuff that he's ingested over the years, and yet he still lives.
Oh, no, he's something else, that guy.
Yeah, listen, somewhere backstage at a Stones concert, I promise you there's plasma being pumped into there.
You know, there very well could be.
I guarantee
that's why I ask, like, whether you're serious or
not. Well, I'm both serious and, you know, trying to make some jokes. You know,
maybe they tour to stay in shape.
Yeah,
well, you've seen those rehearsals that he does. It's unbelievable. You know, so he's not only doing it on the stage, he's preparing for
that. Oh, yeah.
Grueling.
like, you think about all the running around he does. And Dan and I and girlfriend Lisa went for a walk on Saturday. It was about 20, 25 minutes. And I was ready to go home. You know, you know, I was ready to be done the walk.
So you don't want to keep going? No.
I said, at one point, when do we turn around? I don't know. I didn't know how much longer we were going to keep walking. It's fascinating. Anyway, now that he's back, let's avail ourselves of this gentle fellow.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hell of big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes and asks for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now, here he is live from Lakeside. Cool trailer man, anchorman, TV series regular, and all-around wonderful voiceover actor. It is Daniel J. Giebert Duran.
Jasper is half burned. The Israeli war is heating up and could pull in Lebanon. And Deadpool and Wolverine is hot. The movie broke box office records for an R-rated movie. But let's talk about Sharks on Coke.
Yes.
Sharks on Coke. Scientists in Brazil have drug tested sharp nose sharks around Rio, and the concentration of cocaine was found to be more than 100 times those of previously reported in other aquatic animal studies, according to this study. It also found that cocaine levels were 3 times higher in muscle than the livers of the sharks. 3 times higher than they used to be. And how could this be, you ask? And
yeah, most how people, could this be?
Most people...
I didn't ask.
More people are on cocaine in that area, and it's a rising problem. The rise of cocaine use in the region has... over the years, there's been some studies that have done, and then Brazil comes in at number 2 in the region, and South America has an exponentially increasing coke problem there. Anyway, so they're saying that part of it is that some of the effluent gets into the seawater and treated sewage, and then the coke, you know, just they're swimming around in it.
So guys pee it out, like, and then the sharks are in it? That's how it transfers?
Wash it down the drain.
It's not like the sharks are going ashore and saying, hey, anyone, can I get a gram?
Yeah.
Or lining up for lines.
Lining up, you know. But I would say there is an upside to this, which is, you know, when you're on coke, you're not very hungry, so that would make those sharks not bite you as readily.
Well,
you see? They're all just sitting around talking about the state of the world in a really fast manner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you order shark in a restaurant and get high. That's what I thought.
I see. That could have worked. That could also work.
Shark's good.
But then again, it could be they're just, you know, they may be having more fun. So they just do stuff for fun, like bike
That's
people
right.
for fun.
You know, they want to have bike sex, but they can't. Shout out for you Coke people. Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
That's a great story. But we do have to acknowledge one of our sponsors, Friedrich.
Yeah, whether you're a sports bettor, horse racing fan, a poker, casino player, bulldog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Tomorrow, I'll give you the line on that big soccer game Wednesday between Canada and Colombia women's soccer.
Hey, listen, man, there's no doubt that you are a great spokesperson for Bodog, but let's hear what they have to say.
Feeling stuck on the sidelines?
Hey, watch where you're walking, man.
When life gives you too much to tackle?
I'm going to need that draft tomorrow.
You know it's time to play. It's easy to find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Get the latest sports odds and free tips to help you go all the way this football season. Visit Bodog.net today. Hashtag make a play.
Tomorrow on the show, one of our favorite regulares, Lawrence Fedoric, will join us as well. I'll tell you what the fine is that I have to pay for going 20 kilometers over the speed limit.
Oh, Howie.
It's really quite something. Dan?
You sped up? You were running too fast?
That's tomorrow's program, Dan. I'll explain it all.
Now I don't want to know. I didn't know.
Let's call it a little teaser.
Oh, I see. Okay. This episode.
Wait, and tomorrow on the show, Fred will tell you six ways. What are we doing? What's the...
Six things your dentist would not want you to do.
Oh, can't wait, John Tesh.
Oh, Holly.
Okay. Yeah, are we good to go now?
Yeah, we're good to go. You're going in.
Okay. So we got the dentist thing.
Yes, and speeding.
The ticket thing. Yeah.
Yes, going 20 kilometers an hour will cost you this much in the city of Toronto.
Yeah. All right. This episode of Hubble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, 4-on-1, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. For contests and comments, all those emails get read. Hubble and Fred at HubbleandFredRadio.com. Hubble and Fred at HubbleandFredRadio.com. Tell us what you think. And also, you could maybe subscribe to the podcast to help us out, share an episode, and maybe rate the episode, too. For Hubble and Fred, from the Mike Boyd Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, it's dentists and speeding tomorrow on the show. So they wait till then and then enjoy every goddamn day. Here's suits with your parachute boots, passing the Ducci from coast.